from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum this morning, FBI Director James Comey yesterday confirmed that the agency is investigating Russian interference in the November election.
And that includes investigating the nature of any links between individuals associated with the Trump campaign and the Russian government.
We'll look at the fallout from the House Intelligence Committee hearing with The New Yorker's Ryan Lizza. Then at 9:30, Trump Supreme Court nominee Neil Gorsuch told senators today he would have the judicial independence to stand up to the president. We'll get the latest on the Gorsuch confirmation hearings. It's all coming up on Forum after the news. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum program. FBI Director James Comey dropped a couple of bombshells during yesterday's House Intelligence Committee hearings. He confirmed that the FBI has for months been investigating both Russian interference in the 2016 U.S. presidential election, as well as possible coordination between the Kremlin and the Trump campaign. And Director Comey also told the committee that after looking carefully inside the FBI, he had no evidence to support President Trump's allegation that President Obama wiretapped Trump Tower. The revelations came as the Intelligence Committee, chaired by California Republican Devin Nunes, evaluates a report issued in January by the intelligence community, concluding that Russian President Vladimir Putin ordered a campaign aimed at the United States presidential election in order to harm the electability of Hillary Clinton. This hour, we review the proceedings, what we've learned, and what questions remain with Ryan Lizza, Washington correspondent for The New Yorker. And Ryan Lizza, welcome to the Forum program. Good to have you.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be back. Thank you.
Well, let's begin with, actually, it's probably at this point almost a platitude because it's been said by many, but it was like listening to two hearings yesterday, the Democrats asking about ties to Russia and the GOP acting asking a good deal about leaks. But also, there was a Twitter feed going on with an entirely different story as well, right? From
kind of surreal. Everything is in real time now at these kinds of events, right? And so, yeah, never before did you actually have a president in real time, or at least the president's one of the president's feeds, commenting and trying to spin the proceedings. But he, if you notice, he made a bit of a mistake, didn't he? Because if you're going to mischaracterize the testimony of your own top intelligence officials, you might want to do it after they leave the hearing.
Well, before the hearing. Actually, before the hearing, he said you're going to hear a lot of fake news here.
Yeah. He had the pre-spin and the spin during the hearing. But what I thought you were referencing was how he mischaracterized something that Rogers and Comey said, and then the Democrats came back after seeing that tweet and got Comey on the record saying essentially the president's tweet was wrong. So not only did Comey contradict Trump's more dramatic tweet about the surveillance of Obama's alleged surveillance of Trump Tower, but right there in the middle of the hearing, the Democrats got him to confirm that Trump was tweeting something erroneous in real time in the middle of the hearing. Kind of a surreal episode in the annals of these.
Yeah, things. I was going there, and it was surreal. I think that's a good way to characterize it.
I was in the room, actually, and of course, everyone, all the reporters and in the members of Congress and, you know, everyone except the witnesses are sitting there reading Twitter on their phones. So you have this kind of live feed of the commentary outside the room, you know, as well as the questions inside.
We're talking to The New Yorker's Ryan Lizza. Let me go right to the hearings with you, Ryan, because 11 days before the election, there was a reopening by James Comey of the email server questions of Hillary Rodham Clinton. But since July now, it turns out they've been investigating links between Donald Trump's campaign and Russia. Why did we not hear about that earlier than yesterday?
You know, that is a great, great question, because think about that. Comey confirmed yesterday that the investigation started in late July. The famous letter he sent to Congress that was immediately leaked about the reopening of the investigation was, I believe, October 28th, but somewhere in late October. So that's 3 months. So when he sent that letter, he, or at least the FBI, had been investigating the Trump campaign and its associates' links to the Russian propaganda campaign and cyber campaign, which by that point had been confirmed by the intelligence community, that they'd confirmed in September. And yet he did not publicly reveal it. He did not reveal it to the top intelligence folks in the House and Senate. He did not reveal it to anyone else in the executive branch. He kept it completely inside the FBI. And as you have probably seen in the last 24 hours, that has a lot of Democrats, a lot of Hillary supporters, outraged that he made such a public declaration about a development in the Hillary Clinton email case and yet was completely silent on one of the other candidates. And, I don't think you can make a case for what he did, knowing what we know now. Either he should have been silent about both, or in fairness and letting the public know the most information they could possibly know about these two candidates, he should have disclosed that there was this investigation. And, I personally think it's fairly outrageous that he didn't. And I say this as someone who defended him when he made that letter public about Hillary Clinton's investigation. And my case then was, well, as a journalist and as a voter, I want to know everything about these candidates, and I certainly want to know if they're under FBI investigation. Of course, if you're going to do that for one, you better do it for the other one. So interestingly, though, afterwards I interviewed Adam Schiff, the ranking member, the Democrat. And he was not very worked up about that. His view now is he and Comey are sort of on the same page in that the FBI is doing a very thorough investigation of Russia and Trump, and so he sort of depending on what Comey is investigating, if you're a Democrat or Republican, he's on your side or he's not, right? So now Schiff was fairly praiseworthy about Comey, while when I interviewed Nunez, he was much more reticent, critical of Comey, and, by the way, brought up the fact that he was not very happy that Comey never disclosed the Trump investigation to him until 2 weeks ago at a private briefing.
Yeah, partisan views of Comey have been shifting.
Absolutely.
since you mentioned Adam Schiff, though, he built up kind of a circumstantial case, former prosecutor that he is, and talked about, was this a coincidence? Was this a coincidence? But then yeah. We keep coming back to, James Clapper, former director of National Security, who said there's no evidence of collusion.
Yeah, and if you listen, this is a confusing one, because if you listen carefully to how Schiff and Comey tried to clarify that, what Clapper was saying is that in the investigation that the intelligence community did, and which they made a public report about that investigation, what Clapper was saying is that in that investigation they had no evidence of collusion. What the distinction is that Comey's own FBI investigation, which is different, is now investigating those links. So I think people are misusing what seems to be a blanket statement from Clapper saying, I've seen nothing. What he is referring to, and this is what came out if you listen to some of the follow-up questions yesterday, at least this is my understanding, he is referring to the intelligence community's investigation of the Russian cyber campaign, right? In that investigation and in the public report, and I assume he's talking about the classified version as well, there was no evidence of collusion that he saw. Comey came before the Senate Intelligence Committee yesterday and said, I'm now disclosing for the first time that I am investigating potential collusion between associates of Trump and the Russian cyber campaign. So it's actually two separate inquiries if you think about it like that.
We're talking again with Ryan Liz, a Washington correspondent for The New Yorker. This is, alas, just a half-hour segment, so let me invite those of you who are listening to join us if you do have questions or comments, and you can do that now at our toll-free number. 866-733-6786 is the number to call. We welcome your call. So whether you're listening on radio, internet, or Sirius satellite, feel free to join us now. Again, that number is 866-733-6786. You can also email us, forum@kqed.org, or go right to our website. Post any questions or comments there at kqed.org/forum and click on this segment or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. And Ryan, I'm looking at a comment from a listener named Kevin who says, I thought questions about Russia and the Trump campaign were over when Flynn resigned. What more do you want? FBI already said that there's no way that they're going to brief us on classified matters.
Well, the FBI did decide yesterday, the FBI director decided yesterday that this was a... usually the FBI does not comment on its investigations, and for good reason. If you or I are being investigated by the FBI and it's bunk and the investigation doesn't go anywhere and we're not charged criminally, it's not really fair for the FBI to announce that we were being investigated, right? So there are good privacy concerns about the FBI not publicly talking about their investigations. But Comey decided to break that general rule because of, as he said, it was an issue of such importance to the public, the same standard he used in commenting about the Hillary Clinton email investigation. Now, we don't know this from Comey's comments yesterday, but it has been reported by the New York Times and others that it's not just Michael Flynn who has been investigated by the FBI for potential links to this Russian influence campaign, but three other names have come up. And those are Carter Page, a former foreign policy advisor to Donald Trump's campaign, Roger Stone, a longtime political advisor to Trump, and Paul Manafort, who actually ran the Trump campaign, worked on the Trump campaign for 5 or 6 months.
Who the Trump presidency is now trying to pretty much push off or slough off as not having an important role at all.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was a somewhat ridiculous. Any of us who covered the Trump campaign know, we all know it went through three phases, basically. You had the Lewandowski phase early on, you had the Manafort phase in the middle, and you had the Bannon phase at the end. And frankly, Manafort was, it's hard to say what the most important phase was, but Manafort ran the campaign during the period where Donald Trump won the Republican nomination. And his job was to fend off all of the final rivals to Trump and make sure that his convention was successful and that there was no contested convention. He did all that successfully. He made Donald Trump the Republican nominee. He was the campaign chairman. He was extremely important. And eventually he resigned or was fired, depending on how it actually happened internally. But he was essentially pushed out because of these questions about his connections to Russia became so hot, and specifically a story in the New York Times about about payments he may have received for the work he did in Ukraine. So it is ridiculous for the White House now to be casting out Manafort. Look, with Carter Page and Roger Stone, they have a slightly stronger case. These were more peripheral figures in the Trump orbit. They didn't have, they weren't running the campaign. But none of that really matters in the end, right? At the end of the day, what will matter is if the FBI finds some serious link between the campaign and this Russian operation. Whether the people who are those links had a formal title on the campaign or not doesn't really matter, right?
Well, I think yesterday pointed out to almost a dramatic degree how much we need an independent commission. But I want to get to our callers here, Ryan, but could it be, with all the talk about, for example, Carter Page, who was a Trump advisor involved with the big energy company Rosenfeld, for that matter, Roger Stone, who also was a Trump advisor, bragging about connections to Julian Assange of WikiLeaks and predicting that Podesta's emails would be published. I mean, there are a lot of things here. And in fact, Reuters just had a story about at least 63 individuals with Russian passports or addresses having brought at least $98.4 million worth of South Florida Trump-labeled towers. And this is according to corporate records and public documents. There's a sale of a home that Trump gave to sold to a Russian oligarch. So there's a lot that stacks up here, but there are some who would say even Adam Schiff said this could all be just coincidental. It all may mean nothing.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a dizzying amount, or maybe I should say a suffocating amount of smoke, right? And we know about all these connections, and you know, there's always a danger in being a sort of conspiracy theorist and linking this with this and this. And you know, frankly, that's why it is so important that some entity with subpoena power that is completely charged with getting to the bottom and pursuing every lead puts together a comprehensive report with all of the facts. Now, is the FBI going to do that? Maybe. Their mandate is a little different, right? They're looking for evidence of a crime. If they don't find it, they'll shut down their investigation. Maybe then they will come before the Congress and share some of that information. But it's not really their job to get to the bottom of all this. And that's, you know, that's where Congress steps in. And, you know, you pointed out there should be an independent commission. You know, even Schiff still yesterday called for an independent commission. I thought that despite what you said before, I had the exact same takeaway that you had. This was a tale of two commissions, right? Or a tale of two committees, the Republicans asking one set of questions, the Democrats asking another. I wouldn't totally give up on the House Intelligence Committee yet. It's probably smart to bet against them, but it could have been a lot for Congress. It could have been a lot worse than yesterday. I think one thing that is notable is that Schiff and Nunes have agreed, the purview that they have agreed to is quite wide. In other words, Schiff has given in to Nunes to say, yeah, sure, if you want to look at those leaks that you Republicans are obsessed with, fine, do it. And Nunes has given in to Schiff and said, yes, we are going to look at all of the conspiratorial links that you allege, you know, between Trump and the Russians and potential collusion. So I think that suggests maybe this can be a serious investigation, despite the fact that it looked awfully partisan yesterday. But if they fail, some independent commission needs to get to the bottom of this, because people are just confused by all of the allegations and just the sort of fog around this issue. And if there's no there, then that's important for the American people to know about, too.
Again, Ryan Lizza with us from the nation's capital, Washington correspondent for The New Yorker. And let's go to your calls. Let's go first, Barbara, to you. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you very much. A couple of quick questions. One is, one of the things that came out in the hearing yesterday was that no evidence was found that Obama had in any way surveilled or wiretapped Trump Tower. I'm just outraged about that, and I wonder, what are our chances of getting Mr. Trump to publicly acknowledge that result, and even maybe an apology is too far, but certainly to acknowledge and admit that he was wrong about that allegation? Second thing.
Excuse me, Barbara. He was in Louisville yesterday. He spoke today. He said nothing about that, just for
that's
the
right.
record. Yeah.
That's right.
I'm sorry, your second question.
We've got to hold his feet to the fire on that one. But my second question is, since this is a public hearing, I'm a little bit confused about how is this an unfolding investigation that's being made public, or is this something that's really been going on? In other words, how far down the road do we think we are on this?
Well, those are two great questions. Let me deal with the second one first. So the House Intelligence Committee has been looking into talking to the FBI, talking to the other intelligence agencies privately in classified settings about what they know about the Russian cyber campaign. And that's been going on not too long, just for a few weeks. And now this was their first public hearing on the matter. So they're really just in the first couple of innings with respect to this investigation. And so there will be another public hearing next week, but in between the public hearings, they're doing some amount of work privately with the intelligence agencies. But having said all that, as Adam Schiff pointed out yesterday, they don't have a big staff. They don't have anything near like the resources of, say, the 9/11 Commission, which was very well funded and could basically get any documents it wanted and access to any witnesses it wanted. So they're hobbled in some sense. I think they're cheered by the fact that maybe Comey and the FBI will start to share what they're learning, but we'll see how that sharing goes down the road. On your first question, look, as a journalist and someone who cares about the president being held accountable, I think it's incredibly important that once a president is proved to be to say something that is false, they need to admit it. They need to retract it. Otherwise, what you allow the president to do is sort of just set up this alternative universe of facts for his own hardcore supporters without ever recognizing when they've said something that's a lie. And I think it's frankly dangerous for that kind of precedent to be set. And, you know, we live in a pretty polarized system politically, and so it's important for Republicans, not just the press and Democrats, to make that point, but for Republicans to step up and say, this wasn't true, the president lied, he needs to retract it. And you see a few voices out there saying that. There's a thin, you know, after the hearing yesterday, I asked Nunez about this. I asked him if he thought Trump's credibility had been harmed by Comey's testimony, and Nunez said no, he didn't.
Well, President Trump is also not known for retractions or apologies, but
nope.
Let me thank Barbara for her call.
Nope.
I wanted to get another caller on here because we've got a limited time, unfortunately, with Ryan Liz, as I said earlier. I just want to also mention the fact that apparently the idea that Sean Spicer had put out that maybe he put this out on Fox News, that maybe the UK had done some surveillance or they had done the bugging rather than the United States was pretty much put to rest, that some foreign ally, in other words, was used to bug Trump Towers in yesterday's hearings. But let me get another caller on.
Every permutation that could be possible has been debunked.
Yeah. And Greg is next. Greg, you're on.
Morning. I just want to say, you know, I'm very upset about this whole concept of leaks, you know. And, you know, it was interesting through the trial, they were saying that, you know, we have this information that's coming on and the press is using the word leak, but the FBI was clearly saying that, you know, we can't confirm or deny any information that comes out. And it's really not against the law for somebody to act like something is, you know, a leaked classified information. They can't comment on it. So we're basically going around in circles talking about leaked information that isn't even confirmed that it's actually confidential or, you know, highly classified information. It's just very upsetting to, I don't know if the press is using it as a story, you know, pitch, or if it's, you know, it just feels like we just can't even get to the bottom of it.
All right, Greg, let me thank you for your concern that you're expressing. Let me go to Ryan Luzzo.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point because, look, as someone who operates in the world of leaks and you know, and sometimes very partial information that you then put into the public domain, and it's not always satisfying to have that, right? So the big national security reporters that have been on this story have put a lot of information out there through anonymously sourced leaks. And on the one hand, it's helped, it's frankly, I think, helped push the FBI to confirm this investigation. But it's also, I think I take your point that it has also contributed to the kind of fog around this issue because we don't know all the facts. And so, you know, I would say I understand your frustration with the way that journalism works, but it's sometimes those little partial pieces of information that come through leaks that are so important for us to finally understand or push elected officials and the Justice Department to give the American people the full picture. I hope that makes sense.
Makes sense. And Ryan, thank you so much for joining us. Ryan Liz again is Washington correspondent for The New Yorker. Appreciate your being with us.
Hey, my pleasure. Anytime, Michael.
And we're coming up on another segment. We're going to talk about the Gorsuch nomination. Stay tuned for that. You're listening to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny.